Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. It's the third course of the food show. A busy day today. We have been since the very beginning. And the program, and I won't even take credit for this being something I thought of, but it was something I thought of, but I'm not sure that's where we went with it. I asked, what neighborhood have you ever lived in that you thought was the best neighborhood you ever lived in in terms of how good its food was, you know, how good the restaurants were and maybe grocery stores and all the rest of that? You don't have to talk about that if you don't want to. And if you have a question about a recipe or a restaurant, or you want some suggestions as to where to go for a special occasion or whatever, we're always game for that. And you don't have to wait until somebody else brings it up, because we'd be very happy to do it for you right now, this second, at least after I finish telling you a couple of things about Fiorella's. Somebody called while we were talking about the Poor Boys and all the other stuff. We were talking about neighborhood restaurants. Fiorella's was for a long time in the French Market, and that's where I think a lot of people know it from. But they have had a restaurant in Gentilly for the last, about two years maybe, something like that. And they have put together a real menu according to the neighborhood style that most of us know and like, with the roast beef poor boys and the seafood and all the rest of it. And but it hasn't been there long enough for me to have a good feeling about it. Oh, you know what I'm leaving out of there? Also, they have a lot of Italian food on their menu. Maybe even like 50% of their menu is Italian dishes. And that's all good, too. So that's, somebody wanted to know what I thought about Fiorella's fried chicken. And my answer is, I've had the Italian stuff. I've had the poor boys. I've had some seafood. The one thing I have not had over there is fried chicken, so I can't speak to that one. But I've heard it's good. And now joining us over here on the yellow phone is Frank. Frank, welcome to the Big 870 WWL.
Hey, how's it going? Love the show. Hey, I just want to say something, and I have a question. I had the best steak I've ever had in my life, and it was cooked at the house by a 21-year-old boy. It was my birthday, my stepson, and all of us. And so it was a different steak. So he went off to the store, bought the steaks, and I was going to put them on the grill, and he demanded he wants to cook them. And I said, have at it. And I've heard you talk about it. I've seen it on TV shows. And I'm sure I have when you go to the restaurant, to a steakhouse, they do it the same way. But cooked in a black iron skillet over the stove. Mm-hmm. Absolutely the best way ever. I will never ruin a steak again and put it on the grill, ever.
Yeah. You know where that came from is that I remember when casual restaurants really started taking over. This would have been about 20, 25 years ago. And the restaurants were serving more and more really in simple ways, but really good food. And one of them was the way that they did steaks. And in a restaurant that doesn't really specialize in steaks, they have them, but and they might even be very good, but they don't make it into a big specialty. And what happens is that the way that a restaurant like that, Christian's comes to mind, which was pretty much a French Creole restaurant, and they had steaks, but they only had a couple of them, and it was a side dish really. But the way they did it on the skillet and then coming back and deglazing the pan a little bit and build a sauce out of that, that's universal, at least in that category of the restaurant business. So that's the way to do it, I think.
It's absolutely delicious. Now, my question is, I haven't been there in a long time. It's a restaurant on Veterans. It's been around for a long time, I know that. Fausto's.
Wait, say it again?
Fausto's.
Fausto's? Fausto's. Yeah. Fausto's is still very much there and a really great restaurant. 4 stars from me.
Really? Okay.
I love it. They do a great job with It's a little restaurant. You're going to be surprised by how small it is. They have these murals along the walls that make it seem like you're in Venice, and it's mm-hmm. it's almost convincing. But the guys who run it, they're brothers. They've been at it for a long, long time, and it's terrific. I wouldn't hesitate for a second to go there. It's certainly one of the best Italian restaurants in the city.
Fantastic. We're going tonight.
Yeah. Right. Well, good. Tell them I said hello. Rolando or Fausto. It's two brothers, and their sister is in the business, too. That's Irene.
Oh, really?
Same people,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Well,
okay.
Enjoy. Give us a report after you go. Nice hearing from you, too. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Our program today, I started, I finished it, too, but I'm going to do it again. A few words on the subject of Andrea's. Andrea's is an Italian restaurant as well. And the way that they approach Italian cooking, though, is so different from the way you get it in most other restaurants. I'm not even saying that one of them's better than the other, but when Chef Andrea first opened up his restaurant, he wanted to do the cuisines of all parts of Italy, which was a big order in those days because almost everybody in New Orleans, when you think of Italian cooking, you're thinking of red sauce and a lot of grated cheese and lasagna and all of those real simple dishes. Nothing wrong with them, but he wanted to take it up to the next level, and he did. And it always gets to me when I'm in there and I see somebody ordering something like lasagna because it's okay, but all the other stuff he does is much better. He butchers all his meats in-house. He does all of the fish dishes. He takes care of that. He just goes through and takes all the scales and all of that off the fish, and it just comes out beautiful. And the whole menu is like that. I mean, it's all first class, prime if necessary, dry aged if necessary. Anyway, it's Andrea's. They're right across Causeway Boulevard from Lakeside Mall. They're open 7 days a week for lunch, for dinner, and they also do a Sunday brunch. They're there every day. Andrea's. 834-8583 for a reservation, which is a good idea. I'm looking at the radar over here, and it seems like the big red stuff that indicates a really powerful thunderstorm has mostly kind of veered off to one side or another of the city. It's not gone yet, but it's on its way to being gone, so we're not going to have to worry about this a lot longer. But while you're waiting, it would not be, in my mind, the smartest thing you ever did. If you were about to go drive across the causeway, let's say, it's really pretty tough out there. You just wait it out. Go have a cocktail or something. Or, if you have a designated driver anyway. So, 260-1870 is our telephone number. We'd really like to hear it from you about wherever it is that you have been eating lately. We have started off with a topic today. We don't necessarily have to stay on the topic particularly, it's mainly just to get us thinking about eating, really. But the question is, of all the neighborhoods you have lived in, for all I know, that might be one. I know a few people who have lived in their house for a long, long time and have never lived anywhere else. So I mean, if you're lucky enough to have that, then the rules change a little bit. But if you have been at various times in your life, have lived in other parts of the city, call me and tell me what restaurants you remember from that. It seems like there were a bunch of them that I put down in my list of these. Like Mid-City, I lived in Mid-City on three different occasions. All of the time, I was always there for a number of years. It wasn't just passing through. And they had so many good restaurants back then. You know, they had all that stuff along Canal Street. You had Christian's. You had Venezia, which is still there. There was a Mexican restaurant. There was a sandwich shop called Dogwood. Long story. And plenty more where all that came from. And of course, you certainly couldn't talk about that part of the city without talking about what was going on with the guys running Mandina's, which was has always been just terrific. So anyway, any thoughts on that, call me. If you have any thoughts about something else, call me about that. We're always open. Here's Sylvia. Sylvia, welcome. Come on in.
Hi, how are you?
I'm nice. Having a good, decent day today? Is it raining real hard where you are?
Not anymore.
Oh, good.
But I don't want to talk about old restaurants. I want to talk about a fabulous new restaurant that just took over a space on Carondelet Street.
Oh,
at
great. Tell me.
845, I think. It's either 825 or 845 Carondelet. Mm-hmm. And it is El Patio Kitchen and Garden and Tequila Garden. And the food is really, really good, very innovative tacos with all kinds of different ingredients. And then when you walk past the kitchen and dining area, there is an incredible courtyard that goes almost through the entire block and has chairs and another bar and games you can play. It's great drinks. It's a fabulous place to go.
Yeah, it's the name of it again is what?
El Patio.
El Patio, yeah. And it's on Carondelet, you say?
Yes. Kitchen and Tequila Garden. And it took over a place that was called Casita.
I don't remember that one either.
I think a year ago. And this place just opened up in the same spot, I think in January or February of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open for lunch, and it's open for nighttime for dinner and for partying till late. And it also has happy hour, half price drinks and tacos all day on Sunday. I mean, it's a place to go.
It certainly sounds like it might be. I'm looking at the address here and trying to figure out what was there before. I don't think there used to be a really great Mexican restaurant with the same name in Kenner a long time ago, but I'm pretty sure
not the same place.
Yeah, not a connection.
The restaurant that used to be in that area was called La Casita.
La Casita. Oh, that place. All right, now it's coming to me because they had a second location on Oak Street uptown, didn't they?
Correct.
I think that
correct.
Might still be there. In fact, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it's still there.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But La Casita closed, and they opened this but made it much larger and added the Tequila Garden in the back.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And it's right across from where they're building some new apartment complex. I think
That's everywhere in the Central Business District is where they're putting up a new apartment building. Well, thank you for that. That's one I didn't know about. We have just been informed that you said Carondelet, 845 Carondelet is the exact address.
So, okay. Yes, and it's definitely worth a trip. It's almost empty at lunchtime, so it's easy to get into. I haven't been there at nighttime except for one party that we went to that was fabulous. But the place is worth the trip.
Thanks for the info. That's a new one on me. But they're always opening, you know. It just keeps on coming. But thanks for the call. Johnny is over here on the blue phone. Johnny, welcome. Hey, Johnny, you there? Let me try clicking this again. Johnny.
Hi, Tom.
Hi,
can you hear me? Hi.
Yes, I can.
I'm in Hammond, but I worked some down in River Ridge and asked for a recommendation, and someone suggested Charles Seafood on Jefferson Highway. And I'm wondering if you have ever tried their jambalaya grits.
Jambalaya grits. I don't think so. Tell me the name of the place again.
Charles C. Seafood.
Charles Seafood. Oh, that place. It's in the middle of, it's on Jefferson Highway, right in the middle of Harahan.
Yeah, it looks like a hole in the wall, but they really have good food.
Well, that's true. They have, and they've been there a long, long time. I remember seeing that across the street from my aunt's house when this would have been in 1956. You know, they've been around a while. Frank Brightson leased it for a long time, a couple of years anyway, but he dumped out of that after just a couple of years. But it was good, huh?
It was really great. My wife especially loves it. And I'm not a real foodie, but
no.
I'm wondering, have you ever tried the barbecue at the Shed in Van Cleve?
Van Cleve? Where is that?
Mississippi.
Oh. No, I can't say I have.
It's aptly named. It really is a shed. It looks like you took all the buildings that were torn up by Katrina and nailed them together and made a place. The dining hall has gravel floors, picnic tables. But they have great barbecue, in my estimate.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, if I get that way, I'll look for it.
Thanks so much. You have an encyclopedic knowledge. I love your show.
Oh, you should have heard me a few years ago. All right. We will return with more of The Food Show after. First, please this. Hello, it's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We have an update from CBS in just a second. In a minute, you say? Okay. Well, our program is sponsored by Paran's Poor Boys. Paran's Poor Boys is not just a poor boys shop. They, in addition to that, have great daily specials at all three of their locations, and the poor boys, too, of course, including some very adventuresome poor boys. Everything prepared in-house, and all you need to do is ask, although you don't even need to do that, and they will toast that sucker in the oven just the way it ought to be. There's just nothing like poor boys, and not too many places can do it as well as they do over at Paran's Poor Boys, with three locations in the area now, a new one on Britannia Street, Uptown. We'll be back after we check the news here, and then stay tuned. More of The Food Show coming. And we are back. It's The Food Show, and we jump over with great deftness to Millie. Millie, welcome to The Food Show. Millie, you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can get you. I hear you now. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately in a parking lot at this point. I have a lot of comments about the things you were talking about today, but in particular, I wanted to ask you a question. You mentioned Christian's Restaurant. And back in the day, I used to get their smoked soft-shell crab.
Mmm,
was
that wonderful.
And I was wondering if there's another restaurant that serves.
Believe it or not, there is. Clancy's. Clancy's, you need to call ahead probably for a couple of days just so they can get the nice crabs. But they, at Clancy's, that's something that they do very, very, very well. And the crabs right now are just perfection. They're huge. They're very fresh. That's the place to go. You ever been there? Clancy's? Where'd she go? Millie, you still there? I don't know what happened.
How are you?
Gordon, welcome to The Food Show.
How are you?
I'm doing really great now that you've called. Come on in.
Well, thank you so much. I'd like your recommendation on how to cook an easy chicken piccata.
Chicken piccata. Well, the way I would do that is to flatten out all of the meat involved. And there are parts of the meat that I wouldn't use at all. Like, there's not much you can do with the wing for this. I guess if you fooled around with it enough. But when you're talking about a dish made in this way, usually it's with veal. But chicken works just fine. You cut or sort of unfold the chicken breast. You beat it with a hammer. Or if you have something else that's more specific to that, and you want it to come out pretty thin, about maybe the thickness of three stacked nickels.
Okay.
And then you sear it on one side with just the seasoning, no flour, no garlic. Garlic you can use, but no other stuff. And then you sear it in some olive oil on one side. You turn it to the other side. You sear it on that side. And when you're pretty sure that you have cooked this all the way through, chicken needs to go up to about, I don't know. You'll know when you get there. You want it to be very much opaque. You don't mm-hmm. want it to be see-through or even light passing through. And then you take it out of the pan. You pour a little a white wine in there, a couple squeezes of lemon juice, some herbs of your kind. You can do anything from garlic to savory herbs. There's plenty of them out there. And that's it. And then you have your sauce ready already. That could be a red sauce. It could just be made with olive oil and a couple of other drips and drops of this and that. And then you have a very elegant dish. It shouldn't be bulging at all. It ought to be almost all the same thickness all the way through. That's the elegant part of it.
Well, I look forward. I'm going to try it tomorrow. Did you ever hear people putting capers in it? Capers in there?
Capers would be perfect. In fact, just about a week ago, I had, well, it was a salmon, but it was done the same way, and they sprinkled capers all over it. Capers and chicken go together really, really well. Whoever told you that gave you good advice.
Well, I saw it. I just didn't know. Tom, thanks so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too. It's the Food Show. And here's John. John, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi. To you too. It's you're on the green phone.
Thank you. I'm calling from Pass Christiane. I just wanted to pass some information along.
Okay.
I hear your commercials for different poor boy purveyors, mm-hmm. but I'm going to tell you where to get a great poor boy on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Oh,
Pirate's Cove. The Pirate's
What's
Cove that? On Menge Avenue in Pass Christiane. They specialize in poor boys.
Okay, I've seen the signs up for it, but I've never been there before. So this is this around Bay St. Louis?
Past Christiane.
Past Christiane. Yeah. Well, that's not too far. Well, that's good. And then tell me the name of it again, because I didn't quite catch it.
The Pirate's Cove.
Pirate's Cove. Okay. Yeah. 208. You say? Menge. M-E-N-G-E. Right.
Okay. Right. Menge Avenue. It's off Highway 90, which is the Beach Boulevard,
yeah.
the scenic
uh-huh.
route. And it's right before you get to the railroad tracks.
Okay. You know, every time somebody asks me about some advice about dining on the Gulf Coast, I always feel bad about it, because this is an area that really ought to be covered the way that I cover the restaurant scene here. But there's just the one of me trying to do this, and I just can't bring it into my arena, but it's I'd love to go spend like a month there and just hang out and do nothing but eat, but the demands of the public are otherwise.
In my opinion, I think Mississippi has fresher seafood than the New Orleans area, because it's proximity to the Gulf, but New Orleans has the flair of preparing the seafood in more sophisticated ways. But for fresh seafood, I don't think you can beat Mississippi.
Well, you can with New Orleans. New Orleans oysters are better than Mississippi oysters.
Well, they kind of get them out of the same fishery, you know, fishing ground.
Yes and no. Okay. That's you could say that, sort of. Yeah. Well, thanks for the info.
You're most welcome.
See ya. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Our number is 260-1870. And it's 22 minutes to the hour, so we're running out of time. But we've had a lot of action on this one. The main question, which not too many people actually wound up answering, but they gave me good enough information to be ratified or gratified, that's it. Anyway, I was asking, of all the neighborhoods that you have lived in around New Orleans, which one do you think is the best in terms of the eating possibilities? And number one on the list, for me anyway, would have to be the French Quarter, just because of the richness of all the restaurants in the French Quarter. I mean, you just can't ignore that. So, and I lived there about 3 years, and it was eating me alive. That's why I don't live there anymore. Anyway, Mid-City would be second on this list. Even parts of it that you don't think about too much, like Jefferson Highway. When I was living there, I was there around the time that Hurricane Betsy was there, and for a few years in either direction. You would drive around there up and down Jefferson Highway, and there were restaurants there, but none of them were particularly fancy. They were always neighborhood-style restaurants, and some of them were really big restaurants anyway. And all up and down Jefferson Highway, there were lots of places to eat there. Anybody remember some other than the ones we've mentioned here? In the meantime, we will turn our attentions over to Bill, who is here calling us on the black phone. Hello there.
Hello. Just curious if you had any information about Charlie's Steakhouse.
Sure, it's the same old place doing the same old things that they've always done, and it tastes exactly the same to me, but that's what everybody wanted, you know. They just they took a little while to get open after the hurricane, and during that time, there was not a single restaurant in this city that engendered more requests from me as to information about Charlie's. Everybody, they were more interested in that than Commander's Palace or Antoine's or anything else. That was one that everybody wanted to hear was back in business, and they have been.
That's good. I guess the other question would be on Po' Boys. Do you remember the original Parkway?
I do, and I remember not liking it at all.
Oh, I liked the attitude, the Parkway Bakery. Well,
they certainly did have an attitude, yeah.
Yeah. If you kept your mouth shut, you got a pretty good Po' Boy. So.
Yeah, well, you know, they used to do some unusual things. One of them was to bake their own bread, although that goes back quite a ways. But they also seem to have a penchant for just, like, really loading up their sandwiches with mayonnaise, which is, it just was over the top for me. But but the new one, I think, is a better restaurant, but there's a lot of disagreement on that subject.
Thank you very much, Tom. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for calling. See ya. It's The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and coming up next on the green phone is Quinn. Quinn, welcome.
Hey, Tom.
Hi there.
It's been a while since I've listened to your show, but we're driving back to Slidell after a cake tasting at Marguerite.
A cake tasting?
Somebody
getting married?
In November.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Talking Po' Boys, man, I've been having the oyster Po' Boy over at Smitty's in Kenner. On Williams, right off Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I can't find too many places that can beat that bang for buck as far as oyster Po' Boys go.
What is terrific about the way they do it? Because I've been there a number of times, and I've always liked it, but I don't have a recollection of their oyster dishes.
It's just, I guess, the bang for buck, their bread, I don't know if they use Leidenheimer or not, but, man, I've just been head over heels for
you'll
it.
Like
I guess,
it.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've been, you know, I work in Norco now, out in the plant, and so we have to come into Kenner to get a good Po' Boy. And I tell you what, I don't know what about it, but in particular, if it's, you know, just perfectly fried, if it's the bread, or, you know, combination of everything. I guess it's hard to beat. I mean, when you got a good oyster Po' Boy, you got a good oyster Po' Boy, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, the bottom line, I think this is a usable way of looking at things, is that really most of the outfits that do Po' Boy sandwiches, or really anything, you know, seafood platters, red beans, you name it, some of them are going to be great, some of them are going to be not so great, and you want to know where the good ones are, and just, you know, show a preference for it, and maybe the not-so-good ones will come around and realize that they have to cook in-house and all that.
Yes,
so,
indeed. Man. Well, anyway, I just wanted to share my Po' Boy love.
Nice.
Po' Boy love while we're on the topic here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for the show. I mean, thanks for calling us. It's The Food Show, and we will be back in just a moment after First Please This. Hello there. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Man, we are busy today. You know, if you're trying to get in on our phones, we still have time to take a few of them. But we will be here tomorrow from noon till 3. And well, I don't know why, but on Sundays we tend to be a little looser than we are the rest of the week. So anyway, getting back to talking with folks about food, Josh is here on the green phone. Josh, you there?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good. Come on in.
Man, how can we forget about Lakeview?
Forget about Lakeview? Well, I never lived there, is why.
Well, I'm joking, but Masson's.
Oh, great place.
Tony Angelo's, La Cuisine. Last but not least, I mean, we can't forget about the Lakefront, West End.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Steak Knife, Dali. The little
there was plenty of them, but I just never lived in any of those, so that's why they didn't make my list. But I appreciate that it's on your list.
Yeah,
there were a lot of good restaurants there.
Yeah, it was actually part of my youth. I mean, I one of my first jobs, and of course you weren't able to work at this age, but it was an old Chinese restaurant, but it was owned by
the Hong Kong.
You got it.
Yeah,
you got it.
I know a couple of things.
His name was Mr. Joe. He was a Korean veteran.
Yep.
And or World War II veteran, perhaps. But he gave me a job just, coming in after hours, just cleaning up the kitchen and putting the bean sprouts in a huge 55-gallon drum. And I put too much water in the bean sprouts, and the next day he called me. And all the bean sprouts were all over the kitchen, and he made me come and clean up all the beans. Anyway,
that's the way it goes. Well, yeah. You've brought up a very interesting possible article. I think I'm gonna try to work an article out of this, but I've run out of time to talk to you anymore. I'm sorry. Call me again tomorrow. We're just like ridiculously busy today. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and here is Ned. Ned, welcome.
All right, quick question. I'm going to Trey Knotts for the first time tonight in the Intercontinental Hotel and see if you have any recommendations.
Yeah, I'd start off with oysters, as many of them as you will love. I mean, I'm an oyster banana, but that's what I always start with. And then I would find out what the fish of the day is, because they're bringing in some very exotic species, almost all from the Atlantic Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico, but some things that I've only heard about, never actually experienced. So I'll look at that next. But then they do steaks. They do lamb chops. As a matter of fact, their rack of lamb is really quite good.
Okay.
And good soups and nice cocktails. It's a really surprise of a restaurant, because I didn't expect anything of that when I went in there the first time. You know, it's just another hotel restaurant, but it isn't. It's a pretty serious place.
Good. My closest friends have been there several times, and this is our first time. They just love it. So thank you, Tom.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Someone called me earlier and wanted to know, what was that restaurant I was saying had the best hamburger in New Orleans? I did mention that in passing, but I didn't finish it. And the answer can be found on one of our comments here. The name of the place is The Grill, just simply The Grill. It's made kind of in the style of an American diner, and it'll remind you of the Camellia Grill in a lot of ways. But the menu there is tremendous. They've got omelets everywhere and sandwiches all over the place. But watch them at the counter. Behind the counter, there's a guy doing the cooking, and he just bangs away at it. There's no other word for it. And the hamburger that comes out of there, nice 4-ounce burger, it's plenty enough to eat on just that one. It's not so thick that you can't get your jaws around it. This is the best hamburger in New Orleans, if you ask me. And it's right next door to Trader Joe's in the in that new shopping center just off Veterans Highway and Causeway Boulevard in Metairie. Don't miss that. It's the best hamburger in town, I think. And I'm not really a burger guy. Not really. Okay, let's see. What? Our show is also today sponsored by Paran's Poor Boys. And you know what they have there that almost caught fire and never really did, except in a few places? An Italian poor boy. Here's how it's made. You got your hot, toasty bread. And then you lay down some Parmesan cheese or some, if you want to use something like mozzarella, that would be good too. And then you come back with a little bit of red sauce, and then you top that with the spaghetti, I'm sorry, with the, you put on top of that some slices of a variety of different things, could be Italian sausage, could be panay meat. Anyway, you lay that down, you put it in the oven, the cheese melts, the red sauce starts bubbling. That is an Italian poor boy. Try that at Paran's Poor Boys, three locations around town. New one on Britannia Street at the corner of Upper Line. Paran's Poor Boys. We'll be back with more in a moment, but first, please, this. Gosh, we're almost out of time, but I'm going to use it for all it's worth. Let's see. We have Jennifer calling us. Jennifer, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hi there. I'm fine. We only have about a minute, though. Go.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your show. I've been listening to you since, you know, I can remember, I guess, in a car seat and, you know, in the back. And it's become a tradition with me and my dad. We turn you on, and, you know, now we even do some of your recipes. The other just Thursday, we cooked in the kitchen with one of your recipes. So I just, I look forward to your show every day. So
thank you very much. That is so kind, and I've completely run out of time. But thank you. I can listen to that kind of stuff all day. On FM, on HD, on Skywave, and online, this is WWL Radio New Orleans and WWL FM HD1 Kenner New Orleans, where the news is next over most of these same frequencies from CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. See ya. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 till 3, same place. Have a good night. Have a great dinner. Watch out for the rain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.